VentureCast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everything.
Woo!
You like that. That's a woo.
That's a woo. What about Simply Red?
Oh. On so many levels.
Look how much Tim likes Simply Red.
Look how much
one hurt him. Now he saved his favorite one for the end, for the big finish.
Don't tell me that's the band he's going to do. That's he's going to be his.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Guys on the Electricast Podcast Network. We've got Ben Martin in the bottom square in Knoxville. Hello, Ben.
Good to see you, man. Ready to do it.
Jeff Simons in the fuzzy background in the top square. Jeff?
Fuzzy background indeed. And Tim, I'm so glad the Jets dropped that Hail Mary, or I thought we'd never hear from you again. So it's good to see you. I'm glad.
Oh, was there a Hail Mary? It was over. Oh, dear. Oh, wow.
And we're not alone tonight. Joining us, we got a special guest. Everyone, please welcome Mancunian native, teacher, scholar, writer, music fan, and good friend, Giles Scott, to the party, everybody.
Hey, what's up?
Yes.
Welcome, Giles.
Yeah, so glad to be here.
Grew up in Manchester.
Grew up in Oldham, in Spiral Carpets Land, just outside of Manchester.
I love it. This is exactly what we need. This is the kind of authenticity we've been looking for this podcast.
And that we have profoundly lacked up till this point. So that's good.
And Giles, you're a 50-year-old white man?
Oh, very, very much so. Nearing 60.
Let's go. This is our wheelhouse right here. Well, we have decided, you know, we've covered America. And we've decided to take a little
deep. We're not done in America.
I know. I love that. We've covered America. Period.
We're in LA or San Francisco.
I know, but we were just in the Midwest for a long time. I've gained like 12 pounds in the Midwest. I need a nice healthy diet that Manchester, England will surely offer.
Oh, because we're so healthy. We're so healthy in Manchester.
if we can fry it, we'll do it. So we're going to go to Manchester, England. I picked it totally randomly, had no clue what Manchester was all about. So the research I've done has just been fascinating. Can't believe how cool Manchester is. Not only musically, but like the history of Manchester. Mm-hmm. And is it the Mancunian people?
Mancunians.
So Manchurian candidate, that's different.
and no one call in England, no one calls them Mancunians, they call them Manx.
Manx. The
Scousers call us far fouler things, but most people call them the Manx. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, what's a Scouse?
He's a guy from Liverpool. That's a Liverpudlian.
Liverpudlian.
And the Manchester Liverpool hatred is fairly close to boiling point most days of the week.
But
why is that? Why would they hate? Why don't you just London? You should hate London.
Well, we both hate London. Yes.
Okay, good.
everybody who's not from London hates London, but the Manchester Liverpool rivalry is pretty intense. Yeah.
But then within Manchester, you also have a Man City, Man United rivalry,
which is also huge. But United fans would hate Liverpool more than Manchester City.
Okay.
That would be the more intense rivalry. Yeah,
this is exactly what I mean.
And is that just because Man City sucked for a really long time? And so
exactly,
Manchester
City, they weren't even rivals for 60 years,
right?
They weren't even in the ballpark, and now they're in the ballpark. It's a little annoying, but nowhere near as annoying as Liverpool is. Yeah,
it's a little annoying. I love it. Well, guys, we are the wheels have come down on the airplane. We're hitting the tarmac. What's the airport there in Manchester, Giles?
Ringway.
We're landing at Ringway, and this is the song we're playing. Hit it, Jeff.
Change had much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. I told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, boys are back in town.
Well, what a great song to land in Manchester. Now, Thin Lizzy is not from Manchester.
Yeah, I was about to ask.
Like, I was like, what's the connection? Yeah,
you're gonna love this connection. So, Jaws, you don't know the connection?
Well, I mean, as far as I know, they're from Ireland.
Yeah, right. Dublin. So, Phil,
what are you doing?
You want me to talk?
Yes, I'm sorry, Tim. You. Please, host away, Mr. Host. I'm muting myself.
What's the name of the lead singer, Thin Lizzy?
Phil Lynott.
He grew up part of the time in Manchester, where his mother ran a hotel, and it wasn't a fancy hotel, but he wrote that song about all these guys who would kind of come back on a regular basis to his mother's hotel. The boys are back in town. Thank you all very much. This has been great.
That was much better than you just confusing Ireland and Manchester, which is what I was afraid was happening. That's great. That actually is good, Tim. Well done.
Plus, it's us. You know, we're back in town.
After, indeed.
After our last podcast. Oh, by the way, the first edition of the Midwest podcast is far outpacing the second edition. So I'm a little worried people just listen to the first part and then don't stick around for what we have to say ourselves.
That's fair funny. Enough. They're fair just enough. Like, I'm good.
By the way, Timmy, a publication called The Mank, The People's Voice of Greater Manchester.
Yes.
Headline, the Manchester gangsters that inspired an iconic rock song. Apparently, Spruce Mobsters. Spruce. The people who inspired Thin Lizzy.
That is amazing. What's a Spruce Mobster? Just
we're going to have to count on our Mancunian for that, for sure.
I have no idea.
Always got to carry his weight. Now listen.
Way beyond my pay grade.
We are going to ask you 400 random questions about Manchester.
Speaking of which, all right. I've got four potential nicknames for Manchester. Giles, you can't play this one. Four potential nicknames. Tell me which one is the real one.
All right.
Warehouse City. Cottonopolis, the original modern city, or the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution?
This is a self-proclaimed nickname? Or like this is a semi-official nickname of the city? Or this is just what people, this is just what's come to be?
Go ahead and guess, Jeff. We don't need to clarify these rules.
You're right. which one do you want to go with?
How about birthplace of the Industrial Revolution?
Sure. I'll agree with you.
You can't go wrong. They are all actual nicknames of Manchester.
Decoration. Good job.
Cottonopolis?
Cottonopolis. So, oh my gosh, birthplace of the Industrial Revolution in the 19th century, Manchester becomes the original modern city, and it may have gotten a lot of cotton from the United States of America. Yeah, so there's some issues.
No good can come from that. No doubt about it.
But that's why it was called Cottonopolis, Warehouse City. Apparently, Giles, back in the day, a lot of warehouses.
Still a lot of warehouses. They're just now flats.
Okay, they become really expensive apartments. That is correct. Yeah. Did you guys know the Industrial Revolution starts in Manchester, England?
I do now.
Isn't that fascinating?
I didn't know. I gotta say, like, I can imagine that it kind of was happening in a lot of different places all at once with the discovery of the technology. And I'm not sure I would want to lay claim.
No. Just in Manchester, Jeff.
Just in Manchester.
Right. Good
nowhere
to know.
Else.
It's too bad you guys exported that. We'd still be a bunch of itinerant farmers. It would be a lot better for the environment.
All right, Jaws, you could play with this question. Are you ready? In Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa, the term Manchester refers to what?
All right. Magic?
I have no idea.
You guys are just waiting for Giles to jump in. It refers to linens, bed sheets. Go get the Manchester out of the closet, because Manchester was producing so many linens, so many textiles.
Oh, see, you're just building knowledge upon knowledge.
I know, that's pretty good.
I'm loving it. By the way, Manchester also invented smog. That's kind of a bummer, but yeah.
Would you like to forward me the questions, Tim, and then I can ask them, and then you can answer them with your newfound knowledge, so we don't have all that embarrassing dead air? That might have a better rhythm to it.
It's actually not a terrible idea. I kind of like it. All right, I'll come back to the next question. It is about the after effects of the Industrial Revolution, the working poor in Manchester. But I'm going to come back to that after.
They can wait. It's fine.
After a little game I like to call Woo or Eh. I say the band that came from Manchester, and you either have to say Woo or Eh. And you can't say, well, I like this song or Manchester or somewhere. But no.
No nuance.
No nuance. Pick a side. Giles, you're in?
Oh, yeah.
All right. The Smiths.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, woo. Sorry.
Again, the name of the game is Woo or Eh.
Yeah, it just takes me a minute.
New Order.
Woo.
Woo. Buzzcocks.
Woo.
The Stone Roses.
Woo. Wait a minute. Time out. Is our buddy Ben in the bottom corner going Eh for this?
Every time.
I'm going to Eh it all. This is the most Eh city in the English-speaking world.
Oh my God.
Did you Eh the Smiths and I missed that as well?
All right.
Just so I know where I'm at.
All right. Let's try this. James.
Meh.
Although there is. Yeah, never mind. No, woo! Don't like him.
Laid? No. Oh, man. Okay. The Verve. Okay, wow. Charlatans. The 1975.
Well, they're from Manchester?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, Ben.
I kind of like them.
Oh, okay. There we go. A semi-woo.
All right. Everything.
Woo!
You like that. That's a woo.
That's a woo. What about Simply Red?
On so many levels.
Look how much Tim likes Simply Red. Look how much that one hurt him. Now he saved his favorite one for the end, for the big finish.
Don't tell me that's the band he's going to do. That's he's going to be his.
You know, I was in my first time ever being in England was the summer that song was ubiquitous. I just had this memory of going into like every place we went. Yeah. That song was playing in the background that summer. It was huge.
Did you have a job that summer? Or
no,
Was money that was too tight to mention?
Oh, nicely done. Oh. Look at you.
What about the outfield?
Oh, yeah. I like the outfield. That was first outfield Manchester? Record.
Yeah.
First outfield record is sneaky great.
What about the Hollies? Really like
oh, woo.
Yeah, the woo. Hollies are good.
Herman's Hermits?
That's a strong guy.
Let me make a note for later. And the Bee Gees.
Woo!
Woo! Sure, come on, Ben.
Count that was from Manchester.
That's a bit of a sneaky one because only one of them was from Manchester, right? Isn't that correct for the Bee Gees?
Is that
he
Andy?
Didn't know?
They're from freaking Australia. They're not from Manchester.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, they moved to England when they were
but
teenagers.
Then they moved to New York too. I mean, if you total up the total amount of years they spent in different places, Manchester would be the least.
I think I'm with Ben on this one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Much as I hate to align myself with Ben in any way.
And also, the material that the Bee Gees put out in Manchester is strongly eh. Like all the good Bee Gees material happened in New York.
Jaws, you should know that our interns work very hard on their research. And sometimes Ben's insensitivity toward them is hurtful. So just a heads up.
I hate that, Tim. Sorry, man.
Good job, guys. All right. Let's get to the Manchester compilation. I thought I was going to have a difficult time. Like, how often could Manchester be mentioned in a song? So many times. Could not believe it. I had to like shoo bands away from the torture basement this week. Giles, here's how it works. We're going to play 15 songs, just little clips. So you got to listen carefully. You have to have a piece of paper and a pen or pencil. You're going to number it 1 through 15.
All right.
And you're going to try to identify the artist in each of these song clips that mention your fair city of Manchester, England.
Yeah.
So I just want to check with the judges. Are we sure about the 15 count?
Like 75%. Again, the
all right, awesome. Close enough. Hard. Somewhere between 13 and 18.
I think there are two that are impossible. So I'm going to say that you guys, oh, but you have an extra brain. You have to get 13 out of 15.
Ooh. Between us?
Between us. You guys are working as a collective, a team effort. And we'll just listen to it once and make notes, and then we'll go to commercial. And when we come back, we'll have magically listen to it a second time.
I'm the host. Okay, here we go.
I'm more of I'm just like, I'm your Andy Richter. I'm just explaining how things work to the guests. All right, here we go.
Going back to Manchester, England. I'm gonna learn me to sing.
I'm a 50-year-old man.
That's us.
It's not Leeds or Manchester.
Went from my nigga serving it by the telly to venues in Manchester to swerving with Balotelli. The fuck are you trying to tell me?
Now I got money falling out 50s, 100s, and 20s. And I know nothing is funny about the Manchester bombing. But we-
was all like a find. I was earning but losing my time. Put a banner while sipping on wine with a beautiful Notting Hill mother of five. Mental muscle, the strong will survive. That's why I drink white rum on the Manchester gym.
Manchester, England looks a lot like me today.
Manchester roars like a ghost with its rattle and chains as it mourns.
Because I thought the only thing between us was something shallow, not a river so deep with seas. Dredge up the wreckage our parents left us and lay it on the banks to rot and fester. And now it's got hanging like a desktop, the great and green and dark in Manchester.
From the train in Manchester, England,
I know a lot about her, cause you see,
baby
is an awful lot like me.
Hit it.
Don't cry out loud. Just keep it inside. Learn how to hide your feelings.
Let's go.
Woo! Great. I love that last
Coming
one.
Coming in with a high heat at the end. No, she does not mention Manchester.
Yes, but indeed. We're in trouble at 13 unless my friends are going to bail me out on some of these. I'm
13 out of 15. Well,
that's the hardest one yet, I think, Timmy.
I had my internet freeze in the middle. That was why I came downstairs. I'm sitting next to the internet, so I didn't even hear half of it.
Oh God, all right.
Especially what I heard it doesn't seem like it would have helped much.
No. Okay.
Well, let's take our first commercial break here on 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys, the number one music history podcast. Where? Gutter.
India.
Gutter.
Where?
Potter.
Damn. Yeah, Gutter. Yeah, they love us in the Arabian Peninsula. All right, we'll take a break now. Here it is, the torture basement. Right. Boom.
So this first one, Gomez. This is Whippin' Piccadilly from Bring It On.
Love this guitar work.
I love this album. It's a good album. You got the whole intro I like.
Anyone get this?
Holla here one more time.
I'm gonna learn me to sing.
All right, I have a guess. I've never heard that song in my life, but that sounds like Frank Black, and I don't know if it's Pixies or Frank Black, but that major F sharp chord makes me think it's a Black Francis, Frank Black, Pixies universe something.
It's Frank Black.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's really good.
I got the next one too, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Good.
Hit it.
I'm a 50-year-old man. I think I got this one too.
Sounds like this is The Fall.
Yeah. It is The Fall. Yeah. I had no idea there's a song called 50-year-old man. How have we not incorporated that into our podcast?
Song kicks ass. I really like it. But it's not Leeds. This is Billy Bragg.
Billy Bragg, yeah.
Pretty distinctive.
And now I need some help, gang.
Went from my nigga serving it by the telly to venues in Manchester.
That's great.
It is great. Ben Barton. Now I
got money. Yes! Benny, that is what I'm talking about. And then we got another one I don't know. Here we go.
That's Stormzy.
Wait, who is it?
Stormzy.
It is not Stormzy.
Who was it?
This one Eminem.
Those...
Oh.
Eminem.
That's Eminem? Boy, yeah. I never heard that one. All right, now we're going to have a couple
It's called Favorite Bitch.
Ah.
It's off to a good start.
Yeah, about his dog.
Yeah, shush. This is Elton John.
Indeed.
This is the Smiths. Manchester School.
I heard Radiohead does a version of this too. I gotta hear that.
Alright, I think this is either Dizzy Rascal or Gorillaz. Does anybody have an opinion on which one of those it is?
That's fine, I think that might be Stormzy. Go ahead.
I'm gonna give you Gorillaz. Oh. Jimmy.
Alright, this one I have no clue at all. Anybody?
No clue.
None. Manchester, England looks a lot like me today. That is not a compliment, Giles. You should be offended. That was Tina Marie. Woo!
Tina Marie? That doesn't sound anything like Tina Marie's like a Rick James prodigy.
Well, she had to have I would her not slow have gotten ballad that. There.
I might not have gotten that in literally a million years.
All right, that's you guys got to run the table.
Oh my God. All right, this one I thought was hard, but I have a guess, Ben. You have a guess?
Oh, what's your guess?
I think it's Ryan Adams. I think it's a new shitty Ryan Adams song. Oh, I love that
guess. That's a great guess.
Ryan Adams.
Boom.
Son of a gun.
When you don't use your free time for anything productive, you can be very good at this.
Oh,
game.
Dude, that voice, I heard that voice. Right. And I was like, I know it. As soon as you said it, I was like, dang, that's right.
That's it.
And then that kind of low grade, crappy keyboard in the background, that's just like his new.
Also, he has like 875 songs. So right. He has a song about every shitty town in the world.
All right. Let Giles get number 12. Giles, I know you're going to get this one.
I don't know it.
Ben, do you have it?
No.
Jeff, you got it.
Stone Roses, I think.
Stone Roses.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
I think it's from the second record that no one knows. It's not from the good one. But I just recognized the way you said Manchester. And I was guessing that Timmy would throw Stone Roses at us. So.
You're right. All right.
This one, I have no idea. None. Something shallow, not river so deep with seas. Dredge up the wreckage our parents left us. And lay it on the banks to rot and fester. And now it's got hanging like a desktop. The great big green dog in Manchester.
I give you a lot, too. I give you a lot.
Yeah, you did. Didn't help.
I mean, the voice is vaguely familiar, but I've never heard that song and cannot place it at all.
This is a band.
Hold on. Is it the If You're Feeling Sinister band? What's the name of them?
Oh, Belle and Sebastian? That's not a bad guess.
It is. That's a great guess. It is not Belle and Sebastian. This band was introduced to me by young Jeff Simons when we were studying in England. It is Travis.
Ooh. Oh, but it's not the good album, Travis, right?
Hey, listen,
it's not the one with Why Does It Always Rain on Me? And,
that is correct.
And those. Okay. Well, that's why it's familiar. But so we lost. Is that
we
correct?
Lost.
Oh, and then you threw this at us.
From the train in Manchester, England.
I don't know what that was, but I don't like it.
Anyone?
No,
point. You guys give it one more listen because you know this voice.
Okay.
Manchester, England.
Paul Simon?
It is the Jayhawks.
Oh, the Jayhawks.
Oh, I don't like that. I'm sorry, Jayhawks. I like the Jayhawks, but that sounds terrible. And the last one is Melissa Manchester.
Melissa Manchester. Oh, what is this? Oh, because her last name is Manchester. Got it. That's a great joke.
That's a really good joke, dude.
I'm really sorry. That song is going to haunt me. That means I'm going to be singing that in the bathroom for like the next week. It's going to take a long time to crap that one out. That will be stuck in my head. Sure.
Don't cry out loud. Oh,
by the way, they need to remix that with Send in the Clowns. Like they should go back and forth.
Yes.
Get that circus theme going.
Dude, I have a Send in the Clown story if we have a brief second for it. Are you ready?
Sure.
So Labor Day, we go out to the lake at our friend's house, and my buddy Jonathan Wimmer is playing his Sinatra mix, and he leaves the dock to go up to that house where we can't fix the Sinatra mix, and the Sinatra version of Send in the Clowns comes on. Oh. And it's like 7.5 minutes. He's definitely been drinking. Like, it's awful. And I'm like, where? Get the fuck down here and fix this. Won't come down. I have to hear the entire 7.5 minutes Send in the Clowns. We come back up to the house, and I'm like, dude, what is going on with you? I was like, I get the Sinatra mix, but you can't have Send in the Clowns in there. And he's like, that was the song they played at my dad's funeral.
Oh, that's
my favorite song and his favorite version of it.
Oh,
and I almost said, did he try and kill himself? Like, it almost I kept it in.
I am proud of you. That it was right there. You could have gone with it.
Oh, God.
That. Yeah.
I still maintain Krusty the Clown's Send in the Clowns. It's the best version
Killer.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So great.
It's not even close.
Well, so now if you guys lose the torture basement, then you're stuck here with that song playing on a loop until the next podcast.
When is the last time we lost a torture basement?
It's been a
couple.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed.
How about you?
That was a hard one.
Okay, real quick. I forgot to write this down, but I want to make it a new part, a regular part of our podcast. I'm going to give you both 30 seconds. And Giles, you're welcome to go a third if you want. But when we go from town to town and place to place, we kind of sometimes get stuck in eras where new music is happening all the time, all around us. And my nephew's like, hey, are you guys going to talk about Olivia Rodrigo's new album? And I was like, well, it doesn't really gel with this format we got going. But I was thinking, the new music corner. Every podcast, we just take a couple minutes. Any new music you guys happen to be listening to that you think our listeners should check out and be excited about. So go ahead, Ben Barton, new music corner. What have you been listening to lately?
Oh, I'll do the Rodrigo record.
Oh, sweet.
As good on that record as Brutal or Driver's License. It does not have high highs of the first record, but it's a very solid record. And I'm super happy to report there's multiple songs where she stops singing and starts mumbling. And you know, like, I freaking love it.
Love the mumbling.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, See Me Tonight. It's a Bad Idea, right? Doesn't she mumble on that at some point?
Oh, yeah, she's got several mumblers. It's great.
Nice. That's great. All right, so we will check out Guts. Jeff Simons, what do you got? Anything you've been listening to?
Yeah, so Margaret Glaspie, who I name checked in our 2016 episode, her second record did not thrill me. It was a very weird left turn into a different kind of production. And she is back playing electric guitar and singing on Echo the Diamond. And it's great. I think it might even be a little bit better than the debut. Right now, it's my favorite record of the year.
Awesome. Wow.
And yeah, great songs, great singing, great guitar playing, great sounds and tones. I'm a huge fan. I also have to give a shout out to the 11 CD mega unbelievably huge version of Who's Next that came out last week.
We're trying to move people toward new music.
I'm sorry. I have been listening to nothing else in every spare moment I have. There's 4.5 hours of Who music I've never heard before on it, which I didn't even think was possible.
Unbelievable.
And I'm just a little 12-year-old boy rediscovering rock music every time I put the damn thing on. I am completely over the moon and enamored with it. So those two things I'll pitch.
Awesome. Giles, anything you've been listening to lately?
Do you know a band called Feeble Little Horse?
No.
Feeble Little Horse. They're good. It's like indie intellectual pop. I think Girl with Fish is the new album. I've been listening to that quite a lot. It's like I said, it's lo-fi, art house kind of stuff. But it's cool. Fun. A little edge to it.
Feeble Little Horse.
Yeah.
Great name.
And that is a legitimate small band pick. Looking at their Spotify numbers, you're getting on the ground floor with Feeble Little Horse if you check them out.
Love it.
So that's good. That's good.
Check it out.
Olivia. Yeah.
Yeah. not Guts. Hey, I promised to get back to the working conditions in Manchester. Who was the man who came and visited Manchester based solely on hearing about the poor living conditions for the workers? And he really wanted
to...
Yes. Who wrote a book...
Sorry, did I take your thunder?
No, you did great. You did great. And Karl Marx goes and visits him.
Yeah.
And together they start writing the Communist Manifesto. Thank you, Manchester, England. You've given us the Industrial Revolution and communism.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Engels was appalled by the conditions. He lived there, I think it was for 9 or 10 months, studying the working class in Manchester.
Right.
And he couldn't believe the conditions they were living in, like putrid filth flowing down the streets.
Oh.
Just the garbage, the disgusting state of the working class in Manchester and the putrid conditions they were forced to live in based on the factories at the time not giving workers a living wage and forcing 20-hour days.
So for all the progress and innovation, it was kind of an economic disaster. Like the rich were getting super rich, and everybody else was not.
Yeah, the Industrial Revolution it led to the 2%. It was the factory owners who were making the money.
Right.
The factory workers were getting hammered and there was no legislation to protect them at the time.
Yeah.
So it was child labor. There were no poor laws. It was not a good thing for the general population.
So Jeff Simons, what do you need in such a situation?
There is power in a union, my friend.
Yeah, there's power in a union. Let's go. The WGA. getting perhaps an end to their strike. Thanks to the hard work of all those people on the picket lines. There's power in
about that,
indeed. Hey, Jeff Simons.
Yes.
We are going to go to our favorite sons. This is all these musical acts we've talked about from Manchester, England. Who do we think is the biggest? Who has had the biggest impact? And we are going to go with Oasis. And Giles is going to do his best to sell us on Oasis in case some of us have kind of soured upon reflecting of Oasis. Go.
So I have to justify Oasis as the...
But we're going to listen to a song first, and then you're going to justify it. Oasis.
Well, you pick... So, Giles, pick the...
yeah, your favorite.
You don't have to pick their most famous, but pick song. If you had, like, what's Oasis, what's the song you'd want people to hear?
Rock and Roll Star, opening track on Definitely Maybe.
Okay.
Done and done.
No question. I live in the city. Yeah.
Let's go. That's a good choice because I was compelled during that song. Giles, go ahead. Sell us on Oasis. Oh, awkward. You were muted.
There. I think the thing to remember, by the way, I was muted because I just wanted to totally enjoy the opening riff of that song, is when they arrived on the scene and what that album came out in 1994,
right?
There wasn't much that was good that was around. And it's... the music scene, not just in Manchester, but across England, had been kind of wallowing in nothingness for 8-9 years. And also most of the population in England was still coming out of the conservative years. We'd had 10 years of Thatcher.
Yeah.
4 years of John Major. Dole wines out the door, and especially in towns like Manchester and Liverpool and Burnley and Preston and northern towns, the economic mess that had been happening was just such a complete shit show that most of the kids were on the Dole, and it was the Dole life. And you go down the record store, you get a record, you come home, put the record on, get high, and that was your life. And then a lot of kids were robbing and stuff, and there was nothing to excite them. And then out of nowhere came Oasis, and they had this feel to them that was a mix of rock and roll and a little bit of punk rock underneath it. There was this sense of a little bit, not anti-establishment, but this sense of anger that was coming out through the music, and that wall of sound that the producer at the time, what was he called? Owen, the Welsh guy, I can't remember his last name, who produced the record. He called it a brick wall, the guitar brick wall. And there was this sense of anger mixed with a little bit of hope about Oasis, and also this sense of the individuality and the individual coming back into play and having a place in the world. And remember, the irony is at the time they made that song, they weren't rock and roll stars. And of course, 2 years later, they're the biggest rock and roll stars in the world.
Right.
The time when Neil wrote that song, when that song came out, it was ironic, and it was about anybody can be a rock and roll star for a night if they go out and do and don't listen to anybody else and be themselves. And I just want to be myself. Nobody else can be me, which is a line from another song. Uh-huh. And that sense, the anger underneath it. And just when I listen to that track, especially when it's live, just the power of the guitars coming through it is that sense of in your face. It's like, it's a fuck you. And Manchester is coming and nobody's going to stop us. And Margaret Thatcher, the government, we don't give a shit. And we are coming through this. And there's a little bit of the Sex Pistols about it. And then it's also connected to the Beatles. Neil was a Beatle fanatic. And they used, when they were making Definitely Maybe, they were listening to Revolver 24/7 over and over and over again. And they used to play I Am a Walrus when they were playing Down the Boardwalk in the early years. I Am the Walrus was one of the songs they covered, and they still cover it in their live shows up until the end. And I think there's a mix of the Sex Pistols and the Beatles in there. And Liam always said he thinks the two greatest singers of all time are John Lennon and John Lydon. And so he has that two jobs. And he says, if anybody ever connects me to either of those two singers, then I'll be very happy.
So how old are you when this comes out?
29.
And are you still in Manchester at that time? Or
no, I'm in New York.
Oh, okay.
And I'm loving this album because it's connecting me back to my roots, back to my people. Yeah,
that's really cool. Really totally cool. Well, I mean, maybe my disillusionment with Oasis comes not from this album, but from subsequent albums.
Well, I think, What's the Story of Morning Glory is good, but not as good.
Okay.
It's a bit more, it's too polished, it's overproduced. And then after that, yeah, they became shite immediately. Be Here Now is just a rock anthem. I mean, as Neil says, that was five guys doing way too much coke, the producers doing coke with us and not telling us this is shit and we shouldn't release this. there was a thing in The Guardian just recently, because it was 25 years, a couple of years ago when the album was released, saying that actually it's an icon for its time, and it actually stands to that coke addled end of the 90s and just the over-the-top nature of what Oasis became.
Wow.
Before they just collapsed. And I stopped listening to them after that. I haven't heard an Oasis song since Be Here Now.
Okay.
Because they went, what, 10 more years? They went to 2008.
I think they did.
Yeah, they made like six more records. There are friends of mine who are racist fanatics who are trying to sell me on like album seven. Like, no, I actually remember a road trip with a guy who made me listen to like the 2006 record. He's like, there's a bunch of good songs on here. I'm like, I don't doubt it, but the point of the whole exercise was achieved in 1996 when that Nebworth live album that they finally put out is kind of an amazing cultural document. Just to hear 250,000 people screaming every single lyric perfectly for 2.5 hours. Like, it's just an amazing moment of united culture that doesn't happen very often, you know?
What's that called, Jeff?
Oh, it's just called Nebworth 1996. They finally, I think last year, put out the whole, it's been out as a bootleg for forever, but they finally put it out. But they played back to back shows.
Two nights. 250,000 people. It was the biggest outdoor live show of the time.
Uh-huh.
Incredible event. And it was heralded at the time.
Ben, what are your thoughts on Oasis?
So first I want to note, if I was from Manchester, I would like them a lot more. Yep. So I'll just say that for sure. Facts. I get where Giles is coming from. Second, I actually don't hate them. And it's partially their fault, but it's partially not their fault. What bugs me is that they're placed in a pantheon where they just don't belong at all. Like, they're not a pantheon act. They have a couple of good songs from their first record, and then they have fewer good songs from their second record, and they don't have much else after that. And it's a little bit of this like repeat. It's like part of the death spiral. I mean, Jeff would disagree, but it's part of like the circling the drain of classic rock. Like, they're at the tail end of it. But like, by comparison, like, I just think the Strokes are much better. Like, the Strokes just have more good songs than Oasis, and I like the Strokes better. So it's not that they're bad. It's just that they're placed in a level where they just never should have been whatsoever. And also the, like, I'm not a big Beatles imitator fan. Like every band who's like, oh, they listened to a Beatles record over and over again and then re-recorded it, I just like that way less. And that's partially my anti-Beatles thing. But it's also partially like the bands that imitate the Stones, it's just so much easier, or Led Zeppelin, like all of the bands, like the Stones and Led Zeppelin, I love, and everybody who sounds like them, I love. The Beatles, everybody who tries to sound like the Beatles just falls so short to me. It just doesn't work for me.
You just have a, like, you're just afraid they're going to be like the Wonders from That Thing You Do, right? Oh, yeah, like, totally. That's your big fear of Beatles.
Yeah. I mean, like, so listen, Wonderwall is a legit fantastic song. Like, that's an all-timer. I absolutely love that one. And then there's a whole tier below that of, I don't know, 3 or 4 songs.
That's not the best. I mean, Champagne Supernova is their classic.
I much prefer Wonderwall.
I like Live Forever.
So bloated. They have so many songs that are like Champagne Supernova. They're like 6 minutes long and super bloated. It's just not for me.
Loaded. Have you ever had champagne? It really fills you up. Anyways, good stuff, Giles. We shall move on. Fun fact, name the musical artist who graduated from the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester, England. I mean, everybody
that we've heard of, you mean? I mean, I imagine
through
more than
all
one.
Their alums, and it's all like cellists and pianists and like a classical musical academy. But there was one pop star, Howard Jones.
Howard Jones is great. Yes.
It's great to know.
Isn't that great? To know. Giles, have you heard the Royal Northern College of Music?
Oh, it's famous. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's your birthday.
It does not surprise me at all that Howard Jones went there. He's actually
a
sneaky great musician hiding in pop music. So
we made fun of anybody who went there.
Oh, did you?
Of course, because they were all nerds.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so easy, right? It's not exactly a moving target.
That's a good point.
I have to say, the one thing about Oasis, I'll just say, because I was in England in the summer of 95 and 96 when there was a 45, a single of Noel and Liam arguing backstage that charted. It was called Wibbling Rivalry, and it was just the two of them cursing each other out for 8 minutes on side A and eight minutes on side B.
And it was put out on a 45. Single?
But they put it out as a single as a 45, and it went top 10. That's how big Oasis was in that summer. And I enjoyed the fun of it. Like, the one thing Oasis doesn't get enough credit for in the aftermath is it was really fun to know all the words to a song that everybody else in the bar knew the words to that you could all sing along to. And that gets lost. Like, once that's gone, you can't get it back. You can't put on that song and recreate the moment it goes on in the summer of 95. And every single person is like, this is my favorite song. Oh, it's mine too. We'll be best friends. And you all sing it together. And so you just can't hear it outside of that context. It's one of those, I don't know, it's just one of those albums that is going to suffer historically from being further and further removed from its moment, I think.
Introducing the Deep Leadership Podcast. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former submarine officer who spent 22 years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters.
Leadership matters.
Deep Leadership is real-world, actionable leadership advice from John and his expert guests. Become a leader worth following. Subscribe today.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid. Electric Acid.
Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage behind the scenes of show business spanning over 4 decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for
the Candle Power Hour.
Electric Acid.